Hey, I'm Bobby Quinn. I'm the founder of PayPixel, and today we're going to be talking about how you can use PayPixel to deliver your files to anyone, send invoices to your customers, and accept new orders on our new drone pilot network.
Hi, everyone. I'm Greg from Pilot Institute. We train drone pilots all over the country.
Hi, my name is Haya from Drone Excel, where we cover all the drone news on our website.
Welcome to the latest episode of the Pixel Drone Show, our weekly podcast where we talk to industry professionals about what they do in the UAS space.
From professionals who use drone to fly inspection missions to public safety users or even drone light shows, you will learn on the Pixel Drone Show that drones are much more than just toys.
Well, Haya, welcome to the show. How's your week been so far?
Pretty good. Pretty busy as always. How about you?
Yeah, doing pretty good. We actually just we went out and did a testing on the Mini 3. We drove for 12 miles following the drone on a dirt road in the middle of nowhere, Arizona, in 90 degree weather, and just trying to see how far this drone would fly. Not, you know, a range test, but just trying to see how far the drone would fly. That was fun, actually. That was more fun than I thought it would be.
And how far did it fly?
We're waiting for the final data, but we calculated roughly 12 miles distance and get all the way down to zero, well, close to 0%, and then just started descending and we couldn't control it anymore. So
12
that was
miles.
Fun.
And how long did it take to cover those 12 miles?
I think it was 35 minutes from what I remember. We flew around 23 miles an hour on average going forward. Yeah. I was in normal mode, just full stick forward. But we've been trying to find out, because this is actually data that's advertised by the manufacturer on their website. They give you the distance from the controller, right? The 12 miles or whatever they want to give you. But they also tell you how far the drone range is. It will fly for this much distance. So we wanted to kind of put that to the test. And I thought that was kind of funny. The overheating, people have been talking about overheating.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about this.
We were 90 plus degree weather. And I think as long as the drone is flying, it hasn't really been much of an issue.
Yeah, that might be the thing, right? Because as long as it's flying and it has forward momentum, it's self-cooling in a way.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's maybe. You know, people that have been having fears that this thing was going to heat up, I don't think that's the case. But I'm excited to
I was going to ask you. So, what's your opinion about the word "pro" in the Mini 3 Pro? Do you think it qualifies as a pro drone?
I think it's, to me, a pro drone still needs to have a variable aperture, because I use that all the time. Photography, videography, it's something that you want to have control over, especially in videography, because, you know, with fixed ND filters, as soon as the light changes, then you kind of have to either bring the drone down, change. And I don't want to change my shutter speed. I want to change my aperture. So to me, it's got cool feature. Don't get me wrong, it's a really awesome drone, but I don't know that I would consider that just yet a pro drone. What about you?
I think it's amazing how far they've come in the three iterations to come to a Mini 3 Pro with what it can do and even record now in 10-bit video. I think it's very impressive. I agree with you that if you're getting a drone specifically for professional work, I can see why you would get a Mini 3 Pro as a secondary drone. But if it'd be your primary drone, I think you'd be limited for sure.
Yeah, I think it's a good backup drone. So I'm excited today because we have a cool guest. It's Bobby Quinn from PayPixel. I met Bobby at several conferences now. We've had beers together. We played golf in Vegas at Top Golf. And Bobby reached out to me when he first started this company called PayPixel. No relation to the show. It's the same spelling, which is also, I think, funny. But he's trying to make changes to the way pilots are getting paid. So I think we'll have a really good discussion, making sure that he's on the side of pilots. And I think this is something that in this industry, we don't see a lot of companies, you know, being really helpful to pilots. A lot of them are trying to benefit and profit off of pilots. And I think he's a great all around good guy. And I think he will enjoy the discussion that we have with him.
So anybody who has any professional ambitions when it comes to flying drones, they should listen carefully to this one, it sounds like.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if you're trying to get into the business and you've been having issues getting paid by your customer, I think this is a good one. So let's bring him on the show. Bobby, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Greg.
So Tell us a little bit more about how you get into drones, because we'll talk a lot more details about PayPixel and everything you guys do. But what's the origin story with the interest in drones?
I was a fixed wing pilot. I had an aerial photography company. It was a great way for me to fly and get paid for it. So back in 2012, I was faced with the decision that I had to either double down, buy a plane. But at that time, the DJI Phantom 1 was on the horizon. And I knew it was just a matter of time before we faced obsolescence. So I had to make a decision. And I ended up taking a job overseas flying drones for the Navy in Afghanistan for 2 years. And that was the beginning of it.
That's awesome. And so at what points did you then decide to start PayPixel, your company? I mean, you're starting in 2012. I think PayPixel was started in 19. So there's still quite a gap. But how did that originate?
So thank you for that question. I was trying to run my company remotely when I was in Afghanistan, and it was really difficult to do that. I had to find pilots to fly with my photographers and vice versa. And our clients were requesting some imagery outside of our local area, so we had to go find pilots outside of that area as well. Mm-hmm. And this is back in 2012, 2013. It was very difficult to find pilots then when you needed them. And the problem still exists today. It's still very difficult to find pilots when and where you need them to go fly. And, you know, when I started this in 2019, I'd come home. I was already working for Digital Globe, the big satellite company that you see all the imagery on Google Maps and Google Earth. I was working for this company. I had the keys to all the satellite imagery. We still needed to get better imagery that was like real-time collection. And it was very difficult, even in 2018, to find pilots. So I wanted to create a marketplace. You know, at the time when I did that, you had other companies out there, drone base, setting up and running in their direction. But still, I mean, you fast forward to today, that 2022, it's still difficult to find pilots. And we end up flocking to Facebook to do that. So that's the question that we're addressing, the challenge that we're addressing in the market. We want to reduce the friction and make it easy for pilots to take in new orders and be found by customers.
So taking new orders, finding new customers, is there something else also about getting paid that PayPixel, obviously PayPixel, is trying to solve?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, with that, I took my experience that I had delivering files to customers, and I knew I had my personal challenges, and I saw them with drone pilots as they grow their own companies over the years. It's difficult for us to share all of our file types with our customers easily. We have to figure out our invoicing. We have to figure out a way to watermark our photos or secure our photos until the payment is there. And those solutions aren't readily available. So we built PayPixel on a software that is for file sharing, profile management, portfolio management. And in a nutshell, we want to make it really easy when you send your files to anyone or even to a customer behind a watermark paywall, you can do that all with a single link. And anybody seeing that link can see your profile. They can see your list of services that they want to dig in. They can see your other projects, your demo reels, and all that's stored on a map. So it's all location-based. It's an intuitive approach to make the industry better, especially for newer pilots that are getting in and want to have a lower learning curve, a smaller learning curve to get in and start making money and earning with their drone.
Yep. How far are you into the implementation at this stage?
So we are iterating every week. Every week we're pushing major updates to the platform. We have over 500 users right now. We have over 500 users. We have about 15,000 files uploaded between images and videos. And the newest update that we just had actually increases the map functionality. So it's a lot like Zillow when you go in, when you create a project and you drop your files in and you say, you know, this project is for this location. So you see it on a map. You can zoom in and out of that map. You can search for your projects by the location, and those projects like populate on the right side of the dashboard. So it's really easy to navigate to find those. No longer are you like, you're losing files in a flat file system like you have in Dropbox and G Drive. And I've been there. I've had customers after I've delivered come back like a month later and go, hey, do you have my imagery? Like, I can't.
I was going to say, so you mentioned you have 15,000 files uploaded, I believe, 500 users. Can you tell us among those 500 users, how many of them are clients and how many of them are drone pilots?
Sure. There's very few customers right now. you know, building a marketplace is really difficult for anybody in any industry, because you have your supply and your demand side and you have to balance those. Yeah. So we took a different approach and we made what's called a SaaS enabled marketplace. So we're building PayPixel to be a standalone software for people to basically deliver their files and share projects with customers for quick payment, right? I didn't say that before, but with PayPixel, when you send your files to your customer, there's an invoice right there that the customer can review the files behind a watermark, pay, you get paid quickly. It's really easy. It's a no-brainer. So when we launched in February, we said we're going to focus initially on building a tool that pilots like to use. That's it. That's our whole focus right now, is we want to build PayPixel as a software that you want to use as a drone pilot, as a no-brainer. You don't want to go to use four or five different apps to do this. It just makes sense to use us. And when we get there, we can say, hey, guess what? Our network is growing. We have network effects. People are seeing how cool it is. They want to join. So we get a mass following of users, and we say, hey, guess what? If you're a PayPixel user, you're going to be automatically brought into our pilot network. You can hide yourself if you'd like, or you can be on there open to new jobs. And that's the approach that we take. So in contrast to other networks that are out there, if there's not demand, then a lot of these pilots get no value out of them. And they're like, why are we here? And you start seeing negative sentiment online. We don't want that. We want PayPixel to have a service and a value to pilots, even when the demand isn't present.
All right. So if I'm a, let's say, a realtor, and I have houses that need to be, I need photos of the houses, interior, exterior, I want some aerial shots, would I define that project and list that on PayPixel? And if so, what happens next? Like, what are the next steps in that process?
You could. So there's something to be said here, and it's important for us to mention. We're sensitive to pilots. You're building your portfolio as a pilot. You have your customers already, and you don't want your customer to go find somebody else. They can do that. They can do that through Google. They can go find somebody if they really want to. So that's always going to be there. But in doing that, we want to make it easy. If you deliver your files through your customer, we're not going to go to your customer and say, hey, you should use PayPixel. That's your customer. So we basically exclude them from our marketing list, right? Those people can still find us and still order through us. If you deliver through PayPixel and that customer is a PayPixel user themselves, we want to make it easy for them to go back to you as a favorite. Like, hey, I work with Paul in Minneapolis. I want to continue working with Paul in Minneapolis. So we put it right there as those favorites. That's an important thing for us. With what we're doing, there's a potential conflict of interest if we're trying to, if there's any way that is seen that we're taking customers from people. And that's not at all what we want to do. We just want to make it easy for you to deliver your files to the customer. And on that note, you know, unlike other networks out there, we don't take your imagery, stamp our name on it and brand on it and sell it to the customer. That's your imagery. Our product is the software that facilitates the transaction to make that reduce that friction, to make the transaction easier. So your imagery is your imagery and that sale is yours. Now we go out and we'll try to find high volume customers, obviously, that need something across the country. Well, we can plug them into our API and say, hey, you can order at scale across the country. And then you have your pilots there ready to accept. And with our ordering web form, it's easy to do that. It's easy for that customer to order across the country.
Is their focus purely on aerial photography? Or if I have a solar farm and I need my panels inspected by a drone pilot, can I use PayPixel for that as well?
So in the beginning, this is an iterative process. There, as you know, there's a lot of tangents in the industry. We're initially focusing on images and videos being able to be shared, while we're built, like you can upload PDFs and XLSs and deliver those doc files, non-imagery files now. So there's going to be some tangents or some focuses, disciplines, if you will, say like mapping and surveying that we don't initially support natively. But you can still deliver your files through PayPixel for sure. In the future, we want to have mapping integrated so you can easily send like an orthomosaic map on a web tile service that's right over top of satellite imagery. And it's viewable within the web app. And the biggest, that in itself is one of the reasons why I started PayPixel. When you send a 3D model to a customer or a mapping project to a customer, they have to have their own software to figure that out. Yeah. They have to view it through their own software, download the files and do that. We want to make it collaborative and easy to view those files. So those customers can share them with their collaborators, with their project managers down in the field. So that's the whole kind of idea of what we're trying to do is bring together one common dashboard for people to use for drones.
Yeah. Yep. I want to talk about the getting paid for your service because, I mean, you and I have had discussions at different conferences, but I want you to tell our listeners and our viewers the difficulty in the real world of getting paid by customers, and especially with this type of media. So what makes it difficult in this industry to get paid by people, especially when you have kind of a one-way transaction where you provide all the data all at once? Explain a little bit of that.
Yeah, thank you for that. So talking to pilots, we've learned that 70% of pilots who fill orders or have their own small business get slow paid by customers, and 30% of them never get paid. And that's because we're using software like Google Drive and Dropbox to send our files. Most of the time, we just drop the files in when they're done or when they've got the watermark on them and send them off to the customer. The customer gets them, they download them, and they never pay. So there's a conflict of trust. And right now, the way we're using Google Drive and Dropbox, either you have to trust your customer that they're going to pay you, or you ask for payment up front and the customer has to trust that you're going to send those files. So we're creating a trustless system with PayPixel, with our watermarking feature, with our securing the files. Similar to you would see professional photography portfolio management software, where when you deliver your files, the images, the videos are behind watermarks. They're not downloadable, but the customer can preview them. They can preview them on the go, on their laptop or desktop. And they go, yeah, this is exactly what we're looking for. So they get the invoice right there. They pay them out. And as soon as they do, they own those digital files. So they'll get the commercial royalty-free license, and they can use them, download them, share them, collaborate with their teams.
Are there?
And so as a pilot, you get paid, you know, quickly. Yeah. Right now, the way that we have it set up, when they pay, there's a 2 business day turnaround that you get your payment, and it's synced to your wallet. You get your funds right away.
Are there any requirements for drone pilots to join your service? And do they need to maintain a certain standard in order to be able to stay a member going forward?
That's a great question. So there are right now estimated like over 2.5 million recreational pilots, at least drone owners out there in the US. And about 10% of those are commercially certified. I think the most recent numbers that I've seen are 270,000. There's probably more now that are Part 107 certified. We have a problem in this industry of people who are unqualified taking work from qualified pilots who go through the process of getting trained and getting certified. And that's obviously a problem for us as well. We want to bring in everybody. We want to bring in recreational pilots as well. And we want to give them the ability to share their work. So like if you're going out and you're taking personal images, you share them, but you're not going to be able to use the paywall. That's not something that we want to do. We're not going to facilitate you being able to share your files for compensation. What we do want to do is we want to make it easy and put courses like Pilot Institute right up front for them and let them pipeline into a training program, because now we've created a low barrier to entry. It's really easy to get set up and start selling your imagery, but we want to say, hey, you don't have your 107 yet, but here's some classes that can help you out. Take this course, get your 107, and you're already set up. You have your portfolio here. Now you know how to use our software. You can go out and start selling. So minimum requirement to sell is the 107 on there. Minimum requirement to accept new orders is a 107. You upload your image, we'll verify it, and then you'll be good to go in the network. The recreational pilots, we want them to be part of PayPixel. We want them to be part of the community and see, like, get hands-on with it. But we don't necessarily want to enable you competing with pilots who have taken the time and effort to do the right thing.
Yeah, and of course, legally, you're not supposed to do commercial work unless you have your Part 107 certificate in place. It sounds like a PayPixel coupon code for the Pilot Institute might be in order, Greg.
Already working on that.
Yeah, I figured you would. I figured you would. Is there a fee for people to use the service?
So that is a great question, and that's something that we're working on right now. And what I can share is that we're working on a pricing model, and we're looking to implement that at the end of June or, you know, sometime early July. And I can share what we're thinking, like what's in our thoughts right now. And that is, we want to reduce the cost as much as possible for drone pilots. Right now, there's a 3% Stripe fee. And obviously, we pay that to Stripe when people use that. But outside of that, we want to have always a freemium service. So we want to make it free for pilots to come in and try, get hands-on, and do the minimum stuff that you need to do to grow and build your company. But we will offer a subscription as well at some point where it says, okay, there's unlimited data caps, or, you know, you have larger files that you're able to share. But what we're trying to do is we're actually looking to charge the customers that are ordering new imagery from pilots. So if you're coming in, we maybe take 10% from the customer ordering from the pilots rather than charging the pilots that.
Yeah.
There's so many things right now that pilots are paying for and subscriptions that they don't necessarily use all the time. And the majority of people flying 107 orders are gig workers. It's not their full-time job. This is a secondary income. Yeah. So why burn up your money when you're not doing this as a primary source of income is kind of what we're looking at. Yeah. Then for the professional features, we'll have more advanced features, obviously, for the professional users, and we'll have a reasonable subscription fee there.
So that's how you would get paid, is using the subscription fee, right?
That's correct. And then of course, when the customer is charged for ordering imagery through PayPixel, we'll have a small fee, a platform fee used for them. That's a lot where that revenue comes from.
Yeah. And in terms of competition, who do you guys compete with? I mean, do you compete with people just making those connections to clients on their own, or do you compete with even like companies like Shutterstock or IAM or Adobe Stock Photos? Or,
you know, there are no natural SaaS-enabled marketplaces in this industry. The people that we would be competing with, it's not necessarily a direct connection or a direct competition, but DroneBase, Droners.io, now EagleView with their new software that they're launching to their customers. We're going to have to compete with the drone networks that are out there consuming a lot of the customer relationships that are looking for high volume ordering across the country. We want those customers to come to us to order through PayPixel. And obviously, we want a better deal for pilots when they fly for those customers.
Yep. How are you guys funded at the moment?
So to date, we've raised $450,000 between friends and families in an angel round. And we are actively raising an additional $1.1 million for our first institutional raise for PayPixel. So we'll see. We're hoping to close that round over the next 2 months.
Wow. Awesome. It's got to be a busy and exciting summer for you this year.
Yeah, I'm going to be spending most of my July in California to get out of Tampa for a little bit, but we're excited. You know, so one thing that's interesting is on the topic of raising, like it's a bad economy for venture capital and for startups in general. And a lot of people are like winterizing their funds. Mm-hmm. It's kind of difficult. But the good thing with us is, you know, we're looking primarily at our first customer base is going to be note and mortgage investors who are looking at default and distressed properties. And if the industry does get bad, you know, the foreclosure market is going to have a little bit of a surplus. So and they're going to want to do a lot of hands off remote viewing of these properties. So in a bad market, it's kind of when we expect to flourish a little bit. Yeah. So we built it that way intentionally. So fingers crossed that actually plays out. Not the economy going bad, but just us being able to succeed when times
get tough. It sounds like you're hedging your bets in that sense a little bit. Yeah. Yeah, smart. I was looking on your website earlier and I see that you have a desktop version of your platform. Is there a mobile app as well that people can use? I mean, especially for drone pilots being on the roads and up in the air, of course. I mean, it's nice if you can manage all that stuff from your phone.
Yes. So right now, I think people don't realize that we're a team of three people working full time on this. And so we have limited resources. And we're iterating through the development. You can't eat an elephant all at once. You got to do it a bite at a time. So we had to prioritize the build. You know, what do pilots right now upload their SD cards to? And that's laptops and desktops primarily. So our first iteration, if you will, is the web app that you can access through your laptop and desktop. And then as soon as possible, we're trying to make the pages mobile friendly, mobile responsive. And then eventually we will have a native mobile app where you can do just that. You can manage your files, you can manage your projects, you can share, and also manage your invoices on mobile.
Yeah, I mean, even if it's just a, let's say a dashboard where you can just see if you got paid or what your balance is or just some monitoring functions, I guess, would be sounds like it might be useful. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
How do you promote the platform right now? Or are you still such in the development phase that you're not too worried about the marketing side of things?
So I tell my team this all the time, and you know, I don't want to knock our progress. They've put a lot of effort into building what we have. But one of the things that we say is like, you can spend a lot of money marketing a bad product and it's not going to be effective. So while we have to get our name out there, we have to get some brand recognition. We also have to make sure that we have a product that's worth sharing. So we're going all in right now on making a product that's worth sharing. And, you know, hopefully we will experience network effects as people realize it's cool software. It's free. It's built for them by other drone pilots. And then we'll obviously start, people will start seeing us on their Facebook. I always laugh because, you know, if you mention the word pilot or pilot institute, you're never going to stop seeing Greg's ads. And I mean, seriously, it is the best marketing strategy I've ever seen from a drone company. And I wish we had an ounce of that. Just a fraction of that would be great.
Well, I can't take any credit for it. This is all Johan, my business partner. So, but yeah, he's a genius.
Johan is a genius. Yeah, I would love to have an hour with him a week. That would be if I had my dream Christmas present. Johan, if you're listening, wink. Love to talk to you.
So I noticed that in the name PayPixel, you don't make a reference directly to drones. Do you think longer term into the future that you're going to branch out outside of the drone industry and maybe just deal with regular photographers as well, or maybe even other products?
Yes, 100%. Yes. You know, so one of the things that we talk about when we run startups or when we build startups is you have to have a strategic go-to-market plan. You have to start with a small segment first. And we wanted to start with what we know and what we're passionate about. And that's aerial photography and flying drones. You know, we know that. So we want to do that first. And we get the functions on board where we support really well images and videos. And guess what? It falls naturally into photographers. Yeah. And on that point, you know, the majority of photographers and videographers know that they need to have a drone in their kit. Because the world is just going that way. They either have to partner with a mm-hmm. capable drone pilot, or they're going to have to naturally go to that way. What we wanted to do is grab the hard part first. Building for drone pilots is much harder than building for photographers and videographers. So we're gonna go backwards, and essentially we'll have a much bigger market when we're able to do that.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I mean, we were talking about Ken Dobo earlier in the show. If you look at his work as well, I mean, real estate photography, part of those photos are indoor photos, exterior photos, and some of them are aerial. So you can see how you would cross those lines and branch out. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
And right now, when you build a project in PayPixel, it's all you can do ground, aerial, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
We pull GPS metadata from your images if you have them in there, and they're naturally mapped. They're automatically mapped in your project. So when you open up that project folder, you can see all of the locations of the images where they were taken.
Nice.
So if your ground camera has a GPS associated with it, those go in there too. So
do the photos stay on there forever? Do you have a plan at the moment when everything gets so big that you need to start deleting 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 5-year-old photos?
Nope. No, we want to keep them on there as long as we can. So there's no plan to delete the imagery. And, you know, what we can do on the back end too is we're creating, in a sense, a spatio-temporal, which is time and space and location map archive of imagery across the U.S. And, you know, we can... One of the things that we're looking at is extracting data from these, like, this is a car, this is a stop sign, this is a house, and being able to build out a really smart search on, you know, on the back end. In the future, we see a marketplace as well as what we've built with PayPixel, where you can go and sell your images, you can go and sell your work, and you can sell it over and over again, and people can pay you right there. But that smart search is going to be important because, say, I want to look for bridges in Illinois. Then we've created that spatiotemporal map, and we can say easily people can find your imagery from past projects if you want to make them available for sale.
So would potentially a realtor that's looking to sell a house again 2 years down the road, and that house has been photographed already by photographer XYZ, would they be able to contact them? Have you thought about this, or even reusing those photos in the future for other things, so the pilot can make more money from selling those photos several times?
Yes, that's correct. And you know, the way that we're approaching this right now is we're giving a commercial royalty-free license automatically to the people who buy the imagery. Like, it's naturally natively going to be pulled over as that type of license. So that means the pilot can resell those images, or the photographer can resell those images over and over again. This is one of those instances where we would love to hear from photographers or pilots that actually do this for a living. We welcome the feedback. If you think that there's something wrong there, we're actively taking considerations on how we approach that problem.
Have you been getting a lot of feedback from current users? Are you calling them beta users at this stage, or are they alpha?
We're in the beta. Yeah, they're beta users, and we do get feedback. One of the things that we invested in, which was kind of cool, was the feedback button right in the app and on the webpage. So if you go and you start using it, if you get a bug, which there's going to be some, can submit feedback, you can do a screen share, you can do a video of your screen, you know, and report that bug. And I get it on my phone and immediately handle it with my team. So as the size we are right now and the number of users we have, your voice when you report a bug is pretty loud. There's also a feedback request button on there, or a feature request button on there. If you want a new feature, then we're all ears. Yeah.
That's good. You're learning from the community. That's the best way you can improve your product. So I applaud you for that. Tell us about the PayPixel community that you've created. Is there, you mentioned that on the website.
It's time. It's time for a standalone community outside of Facebook. Yeah. I'm sure that we've all seen, if you say the wrong thing, you're going to be flagged. You're going to be banned for a certain amount of time. And it might not even be nefarious in what you said. So Facebook is going in a certain direction. We don't believe that you should be prohibited from posting in a group, especially if it's your industry or your job. It's not fun when you're in timeout for 30 days and can't contribute to the drone communities out there. And we also see, like, if you're in a drone community or in several like we are, you know, you'll see that a lot of these communities are run by people that have their own self-interest, if you will. And they're really careful about who posts and what they post. We didn't want that with PayPixel in the community. So we have the standalone community. You can go to community.paypixel.io. And funny, we're welcoming our competitors or people that consider themselves competitors to post. As long as this, you know, making the industry better for pilots, if they're posting jobs, we want them to be honest. We don't want them taking advantage of pilots. So we want to watch out for content like that. But you have a lot less restrictive standards than you would find on Facebook or where a lot of the communities exist today. And the cool thing with the communities, you can still share videos, photos, files, links. And I think it's much superior over Facebook communities that are out there.
That makes sense. I mean, if we fast forward, let's say 2 or 3 years, and you have now a much larger community, things are more and more established, you'll probably have the opportunity to see who are the more successful drone pilots. Do you guys have plans on sharing best practices or providing training courses? Or you say, oh yeah, please elaborate.
Yeah. So, okay. So to be fair, we are not trainers. I'm actually talking to who we believe the industry trainers are. So, you know, we see a natural partnership and a natural collaboration with companies like you, and to be specific, companies like, Pilot Institute, you know, where we're not trying to reinvent the wheel on everything. Yeah. We just want to stay within our wheelhouse and do really well at it. What we can do is we can take intelligence, like what is the average order price in this area for this type of service? And then we can start making suggestions to people who are ordering imagery, as well as people who are posting. One of the things that we see is, you know, other drone networks out there, a lot of people say it's a race to the bottom. We get it. The airline industry experienced this in the 1970s. We don't want to be a race to the bottom. Instead, what we can do is we can look at what the average order prices are selling for. And when a customer comes in and says, you know, I want this order for $75, we can make a suggestion. Hey, orders in your area on average are going for $220 here. We suggest increasing your price to find more pilots willing to fly for you. Likewise, if a pilot posts an order, we don't want to be nosy, but we'll say, hey, we noticed your your price for this order is $80. You might want to consider increasing your price to a more average market value, so you get the benefit of earning more too.
And that makes sense because guaranteed the DJI Magic, Mavic 4 has got to be more expensive. That's the magic from DJI right there. It's got to be more expensive than the Mavic 3.
Is that a new model?
Sometimes,
not always.
I personal belief here, when you're running a marketplace, it's not good to try to control the market price of anything on either side of your market. And we're taking the approach to not to manage it, but to make the suggestion approach. Yeah. I think that's going to be a lot more successful for us.
Yeah, that makes sense. In our conversations before the show, you mentioned something about the weekly live stream. Can you tell us more about what your plans are there? It sounds like you're going to be busy, by the way.
We're already busy. So my dev team and I work, 8 to 12 hours a day on Discord. So we're like, hey, we need to be transparent. Mm-hmm. It's one of the biggest problems with drone networks that are out there. Initially, they say they're going to be transparent, then they go away, and then people lose trust with them. If you lose trust with your users, it's game over for you. And you can't do that. So right off the bat, we want to put on the wall, what our intention is, what our goals are, our missions, our vision. But also we want to produce the world's most boring live stream where we're going to be coding live. We're going to be building PayPixel live, and we want to take in user suggestions, user feedback, answer user questions right there live. And you can't really run from that. You can't edit that. You can't do anything. So, hey man, bring it. If you want to burn us while you're on the live, that's great too. We're coding nerds. We'll probably take offense to it, but it's not meant to be super entertaining. You're just going to see three guys building software for a couple of
it's
hours.
It's pretty cool. I don't think a lot of people would expose themselves like that to be held accountable right then and there. I applaud you for that for sure.
Yeah, we're going to give it a good go.
There's a lot of competition for boring shows, so I think you guys will still be doing much better than some others out there. As long as you don't ramble for 40 minutes, you'll be fine.
It's literally going to be us talking to each other and like we do now, and we're gamers too. So that's the approach that we're going to take.
That's awesome. Let's fast forward 3 years down the road, 5 years down the road, maybe even 10 years down the road. Where do you see the software and how it's evolved? What's in your head as kind of your dream thing, even though there's a lot of work to get there?
Oh man, if I could have a magic wand, so there's Dropbox and G Drive. They do really well at file management and really well in workflow and integrations. But what they lack is the actual the visualization of those files, the manipulation of those files in real time, the versioning. We want this really awesome drag and drop environment that's super intuitive, that you can visualize a 3D model on the go, on the fly, really quickly. You can show those maps really easily. It's like it draws you in. The UX is out of this world. Awesome. And then, that coupled with just people being able to just jump right in and go to a location and say, I'm going to go to nowhere, Kentucky, and find a pilot. And I want a 3D image of that house right now. And you get a fast turnaround. People recognize our brand on both sides of the marketplace. And it enables a really fast transaction. So essentially, we want it to be like, hey, you can get an on-demand 3D model of your house really quickly. There it is. And, that's really cool for the pilots too, because now more people know about ordering 3D images. There's going to be a whole lot more demand for 3D modeling, and the capability of the drones is out there. I do want to give a shout out to Skybrowse and Bobby over there and say right off the bat, we don't want to build a 3D model generator, or we want to build something that maybe integrate stuff from them. So again, another pilot opportunity or partnership opportunity there with them, but a ton of respect for that group.
Yep, another Bobby. That's I think we talked about this before the show. You're the third Bobby that we have on the show. So a follow up on what you just said. Do you think automation is going to have a much bigger role to play in collecting that data in the future? We already see certain companies that tout themselves as being the drone without a pilot, right? Is this something that you may be afraid of in the future for your business model?
I'm not. And, you know, automation has a major piece. I would say that we are well beyond the ability of our legislation. We can automate a whole lot more than we're allowed to do legally, as we've seen. And, you know, right now there's a requirement for a lot of pilots to do a lot of manual collection. We tried initially in our business model to automate flight plans and kick them out to pilots, and we had a lot of problems with that. The majority of that is, you know, the pilot being the ultimate decider of what's safe and not safe in operation.
Yep.
With what we're doing, we have to say, look, you got to be safe. You have to be safe liability wise for yourself, for your customer. You have to do things the right way. You should do things the right way. The best practices there. I see us taking advantage of that automation as soon as it's available and as soon as it makes sense and as soon as it's legal, being able to take advantage of that technology. But unlike satellites and manned aircraft and other payloads, if you will, in remote sensing, drones are not, they're not centralized. They're not owned by a company. They're owned by individuals. So the only solution in my mind to task drones across the country to collect for you is to create a marketplace that's built on trust. And, you know, so with that, yeah, we can automate to an extent. I'm not worried about being phased out or facing obsolescence because of that. You're still going to have that marketplace model.
So pilots in command who are listening to the Pixel show, where can they go to learn more about PayPixel, maybe even try out the platform or check it out?
Sure. PayPixel.io is a great place to go. You can join the community now at community.paypixel.io. The website paypixel.io has a call to action. You can register right there and drop right into the app. You can start using it.
Can follow you guys on social media as well, or
if they want to be bored to tears, yeah, absolutely. No, we're trying to make better content now. People will see really, really low quality videos made by me. One of the funniest user feedbacks that we've gotten over and over again is like, you make really dumb videos. And they could be a lot better in quality. And I'm like, well, I appreciate that. You know, fortunately, our pricing model doesn't have us pulling in a lot of revenue. So I can't go pay $5,000 per video for a team. So you get me, you get the space, you get all of this for free.
There you go.
It's great.
It's also, you did make an amazing, you did make an amazing video that people, I'm not going to even mention what it is, but people need to go find it on, is it on your social media?
Unfortunately, yes, it is. It's forever with me.
I think we'll if people think they can it, do better, great. They should just join and prove it, right? Show what they can do.
Yeah. Hey, if you're a video producer and you don't charge a lot of money, I would love to talk to you because I'm sure you can make better videos than I can. But in the meantime, in the interim, look for more well-produced Bobby Quinn videos about PayPixel.
Is there a way for them to get a demo of the website through a video, or is it up to them to go and kind of play around?
We're making them now. I've sitting with Premiere Pro open right now in a grassroots campaign. We're kicking out a lot of how-to videos. We're kicking a lot of, like, my goal now is to make 1 minute videos or less that show you like a major feature and walk through that. So we're posting those in the community. We're posting those on social media. And my goal is to do one or two of those a week to show new features and then also push new updates. When the new update goes out, make a 1 minute walkthrough video like, hey, this is what's new, you know, so you can be lazy about it or you can go in and do it yourself.
Starting a new company is not an easy thing to do. You've done it in the midst of COVID, probably makes it even harder, I would imagine. What are some of the biggest challenges that you guys run into and how did you overcome those in the last 2 years?
It's hard when, you know, you're building a startup, for any startup, any founder that's out there. It's difficult to get capitalized. It's difficult to bring in revenue and, you know, you're rubbing sticks together to get a spark, to get a fire. That's not going to happen overnight. And, you know, for anybody that's out there thinking about starting a startup, you know, it's a lot. You got to have the mental wherewithal. But to be real, to be honest, this marketplace is built to help small businesses, drone pilots who have gone out there to build their own businesses as well. So it's not like we're alone in this fight. We see you. Like, we see you. We know how challenging it is to create a small business. And it's literally why we wanted to build this, to make it easier for you, because it's already hard enough. And, you know, that's what keeps us going. You got to find motivation when times are tough. If you love what you do, then it's going to be a lot easier to go through a 6-month dry patch where it's really difficult. But if you stay alive long enough to see the next opportunity, that's how you make it.
Perseverance, right?
Perseverance, yeah.
It's a good trait to have as a business owner. Maybe one day I will find it and unlock that feature.
Do you have a background in coding, or is your team doing all of that?
I will tell you that I have coded. I have created my own scripts. I was a GIS analyst. So I was a geospatial analyst for a little bit, and I used Python very poorly to automate my tasks. That's my background. You know, after I flew drones for a little bit and I worked with Digital Globe, I programmed my own little scripts to automate and do better. I am not a developer. And then they'll stand by me on that too. I'm their pain in the butt. So
do you find that difficult when you're you may have these ideas and you say, this is what I really want to do, but maybe it's unrealistic from a coding perspective?
No. So our team is really cool. Like, I'm technical enough to say, like, hey, we need to use FFmpeg to do this task, or we need to look at this library to do this. And, you know, it's coherent for them, and it's a sober approach. I will tell them, I don't code that. So you're going to have to push that to the repository, and you build the code. And they do. What we're really good at, we have a really good designer in-house, and I design somewhat, like, I'm pretty good at poor Photoshop skills, but we can piece it together to relay what we're trying to get to the developers. The key, though, is we could sit here and create cool tools and features and push features all day long, but if they're not effective to the user, then there's really no point in pushing it. So we push out the minimum, and we came across the line. Hey, user, do you like this? If you like it or you hate it, you let us know. The challenge is getting the feedback from the user and turning that into code, into a function, a core function, or a feature that resonates well with the user. And that's one thing I'll tout, that we have a team that can do that, which is super cool. And we have really good communication internally, as people will find out in our live chat.
Cool. I quickly want to touch upon drone regulations. I mean, of course, the environment that we operate in and the rules that apply to drone pilots might make it harder or make it easier, hopefully, to do your job and to make money as a drone pilot. What's your opinion on specifically on remote ID? And do you see that as an enabling regulation for drone pilots? Or do you see that potentially as a threat to drone pilots?
Both. Can I give you the lazy answer?
Then you have to explain it.
So I think that, you know, we're in an education stage of, you know, let's be real. There's a very negative stigma about drones in the public. And the only way to get through that is through exposure, education, you know, awareness. And people really just go dull to new technology after a while. People were up in arms about smartphones when they came out. After time, it was just the way of life. But, you know, you have these FPV videos that are amazing. You have the new one with the GOAT, Tom Brady, knocking a ball in the hole from the fairway with an FPV following it. You know, so the average person is going to start seeing this more and more, and drones are going to be more of a thing in day-to-day life. So with that, those are naturally reducing the stigma. If there's a tool out there that potentially reduces the concerns of privacy invasion, that is helpful. What's not helpful, though, is enabling that stigma while it's still hot for people to go hunt out drone pilots while they're flying their mission. That's not cool or fun. And that shouldn't be the thing. So, you know, if we approached the ID situation and saying, hey, it makes it easier for law enforcement to quickly find bad actors and thus enabling, you know, enforcement of invasion of privacy, that's potentially a good thing. What I don't think it's good for is to get people out there, their locations visible in potentially bad areas where, guess what, your drone is going to be somebody else's really quickly.
I think so that's what we've heard in now doing this show for about a year and speaking to all these different drone professionals, that seems to be the one major concern, is that why would you make publicly available the location of the drone pilot? I mean, they keep comparing remote ID to a digital license plate for drones, but if you look at actual license plates, you can't figure out who owns that car and where they live just by looking at the license plate. So it makes you wonder why the FAA made that additional step and made remote ID so that you can actually see where the pilot is flying. Do you have, yeah, what do you think about that? Do you think they should perhaps change that? Or
privacy is a two-way street. And, you know, there needs to be a mutual respect for it. So if you're a homeowner and you're worried about a drone flying over your property, you have a right to be concerned of your privacy. You have a right to your privacy. There is a term called the reasonable expectation of privacy, as a lawsuit in, I believe, 2011 or 2013 against Google Street View, you know, was ruled on that, hey, cars can drive down a public access road and take pictures of your house. That's a reasonable expectation of privacy that homeowners have. We also, I believe, as drone pilots, should have a reasonable expectation of privacy, and that should be mutually respected by the public as well. Like, we're operating our jobs. We're professionals. We're in the field. We don't want to broadcast our ID and our position. We're sitting there with thousands of dollars of assets out in the open, and we're giving people potentially the ability to come and track us down and take what they want.
It's weird because it almost seems like remote ID is a one size fits all. Whereas if you look at all the different ways that people use drones, varying from, let's say, your cousin who gets a drone for Christmas, or somebody who builds their own FPV drones, or a company like Amazon that's trying to create drones for delivery purposes. It's like you have all these different use cases, but then the rules that are going to apply are one and the same for everybody, at least when it comes to remote ID. And I think that's, I don't know if that makes a lot of sense, but I guess we'll see.
Yep.
Yeah, like anything, we evolve into things and we iterate through them. If they're a mistake, they'll tend to work themselves out. But it's that period of time where they're implemented for a little bit that people are going to be, you know, having to pay the price of poor implementation, at least in the.
My biggest fear with remote ID is that the concept is, I think, a good idea. The implementation is where the problem is. But I'm also afraid that without the proper implementation, the whole project becomes a failure and our industry doesn't get to evolve. And I'm afraid that right now, this is where we're going to be, where remote ID will be implemented very poorly and not accepted. And people are just going to ignore it. Because let's face it, if people ignore Part 107 right now, which is a fairly easy step, or even doing trust, why would they even go and put a remote ID module when they don't have to? So I think we will learn a lot from people's behavior, and I think the FAA is going to learn a lesson when all of this is released by creating regulation that they can't enforce and that people will not want to play with. So we'll see.
I have one last thing to say, and to the FAA, you know, there's a lot of young people that are out there that are talented, that are coming out of Embry-Riddle, UND, that are focused on drones. And I really hope that they take in new talent, young people who have a vision and listen to the industry and you know, are able to strap into a rapidly changing industry and not be the archaic regulatory body that they've been for so long. They're really good at controlling the sky, but it's really bad when, you know, drones are you know, becoming a evolutionary technology so quickly.
I totally agree.
Getting set down. Yep. So, we're getting to we've done all the easy questions. Now we're getting to the difficult part of the interview with the tough questions. And
looks like I ran out of time, guys. Sorry, gotta go.
this is a question we ask every single one of our guests. But what is your favorite drone to fly?
I'm really ashamed to answer this. It's I love the Tello. It's so bad. It's like, it's because, okay, so I have kids and it's just, it's easy, it's fun, it's so stupid, you know, like it's not meant for anything other than just entertainment and to fly around the house and run into things. So I give the Tello as gifts. It's cheap, it's an entry level, and I'm way too cheap to go buy an FPV drone, which I really want to get into. professionally, I have loved the Mavic 2 Pro or Mavic Pro 2. I always get them backwards. But yeah, I'm a deep dark secret.
we won't tell anybody.
Nothing wrong with the Tello.
We won't tell them.
I do it with my 3-year-old and he loves it. It's great just to see their faces and get them into drones. So
one of the best pictures, Bobby, I ever had of my kids is actually from a Tello drone. There you go. So
awesome. I just love being able to just fly it on the phone and they get, you see their eyes going big and then they say drone all the time. So it's exciting. Well, Bobby, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. For the viewers, we'll put links down in the description so you guys can go and give it a try. This is a great technology, something that I've believed in from day one when I talked to Bobby about all of this. And thank you for being on the show and sharing your passion.
Guys, thanks for having me. I'm awesome. Pleased
Thank
to be
you.
Here. Thank you.